The Neve Trio is back on Classical Conversations for a showcase on their latest album of French works for piano trio. On the call, we have violinist Anna Williams and pianist Eri Nakamura, and I'm sure we're going to catch up with Misha Veselov another time for the cello perspective on things. But Anna and Eri, it's very lovely to meet you, and thank you for joining, taking a couple minutes out of your schedule.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Last time we checked in, you gave us a snapshot of your album, Musical Remembrances, but that was a few years back, I think. So we've got a little bit of a game of catch up to play here. What's been going on since then?
Oh my gosh, quite a bit. We now are unofficially a quartet. We have a two-year-old, Misha and I have a two-year-old, and Aerie's auntie Aerie. We had a Grammy nomination, which was so nice. We're in residence at Virginia Commonwealth University, where we're talking to you from. Yeah, a lot. I feel like I can't think of anything that kind of hasn't changed and evolved. And yeah, things are good.
I love how you just throw in there, oh yeah, well, you know, a Grammy nomination was nice.
With the Musical Remembrances.
Yes, because you mentioned the album, that one did get nominated for Grammy, which was very, very exciting.
Yeah. Okay, I think you've maybe told us the story before, but refresh my memory on how the ensemble came together originally.
Sure. So Misha, again, who's not here because he's with our two-year-old, Misha and I met in graduate school, and we were sort of set up, I would say musically and maybe otherwise, we're sort of set up from day one. We were playing together, and we always, you know, we definitely bonded over our love of piano trio and just the incredible medium that it is in its versatility and the repertoire, of course, both past and present. And we really connected on that and knew that's really what we wanted to do. And then the stars aligned and we met Eri a little bit later at a music festival out in the Berkshires.
Yes, it clicked instantly, actually, when we did a reading. Actually, I used to live in upstate New York, and they came to visit me, and then they read, actually, Brahms' trio, which is in the album, Musical Remembrances. And when we just read, I felt like, oh, wait, we know each other? Why is this so easy? So I'm so glad that, you know, we had the opportunity to record that, and because that's like the first piece that we play together.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I know.
Yeah.
And then I can only imagine, I mean, choosing a name for your group. How did you come up with Neve Trio?
So that was really important because we really wanted to have sort of an anchor as to our why. And we had this very formidable experience, Misha and I, when we were first playing together. We met this wonderful man, a real lover of music, specifically chamber music. And we had the opportunity to play for him. I should mention that this person, Bruce, he had suffered an accident that had left him paralyzed. And so we played for him at his bedside. It was very powerful because after we played for him, which was really like a no-brainer, the least we could do, of course we would do it. He then shared with us stories about his life and his family. Most notably, he was a very proud father. He talked about his daughter, whose name was Neve. And so that sort of moment really encapsulated for us this extraordinary power of the medium to connect us to one another on levels we're not even aware of. So that sense of him and community and exchange was really important and serves as our sort of northern star.
Have there been other moments over the years where you felt re-impassioned, maybe not only by Bruce's memory, but also with other interactions with listeners?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think we've talked about it a lot, that the most incredible experience is when someone will come up to us after a concert with tears in their eyes, and they'll be clearly moved and moved also to share with us about themselves and about, you know, I'm thinking specifically of this person who came up to us after a concert in that situation, teary, and saying that this piece was so moving to her and that it brought up the emotions of missing her mom and, you know, just being able to connect with people on a really human level, which again, this medium is just so powerful in its ability to do that. And we're just sort of vehicles for it. So it's really a privilege. And when people let you in that way, it's such a reminder of how much bigger it is than all of us.
To bring us up to date, what's been going on with the French works for piano trio?
So, I mean, I think we really wanted to have an experience, like an immersive experience for the audience, for the listener. And the Lumiere was just this, obviously it's such an iconic work. We were really loving this piece and this experience of sort of diving in, no pun intended, to this world, this sort of soundscape, seascape rather. And then the Saint-Saëns and the Bonnice, we felt like it sort of felt like the perfect pairing because it had the Saint-Saëns, for example. Obviously, it's a different vocabulary than the Lumiere, but much more romantic. But it starts with this sort of waves and this sort of motion that it kind of sweeps you up into. And then, of course, there's other structure that takes over. But we felt like it sort of set that feeling and that mood, in a more romantic vocabulary. And then the Bonnice is that sort of, she captures that sort of shimmery, impressionist color and feeling, and the only sort of overtly programmatic work would be Lumiere, but we felt there was sort of this element in, I mean, certainly the Bonnice has that in its title, but also kind of throughout. So we wanted it to be an immersive experience for the listener.
As far as Lumiere goes, Ari, what was the piano score like to that? And I guess I'm curious to know because sometimes, especially piano reductions, can be crazy. The piano can be pretty heavily burdened. But what was it like, with Sally Beamish's transcription?
It was absolutely challenging to create the colors and the grandioso of the feeling of the symphony as Sally geniusly intended to bring out in the piano. So there were a lot of tremolos. Like, I'm getting a little technical here, but a lot of tremolos. Like, it can be timpani, it can be the rolling, the cello sound. So, like, I try to really imagine. We did study the score as well, a lot of listening, and just like try to imagine my left hand. This is like a horn, and like just to add that atmosphere for my members, so they can feel like it's an orchestra. It's just a lot of imagination and color thinking. That was the most challenging thing in the piano.
What are some of the qualities about these pieces that particularly piqued your interest?
Wasn't it the colorfulness and just like this, like it really stimulates our imagination because like when we rehearse, we really think about color and then the tone, really the clear image.
And again, I think that sort of helped it to feel like, okay, if we're in this sort of immersive world, like it helped us to go for that.
And the titles really helped us too, the Melbonnice, the Soir and Matin, like the way she thought it, so like we try to imagine, oh, like the shimmering, this like misty morning, or
There's all the
the dew,
water, yeah, the
the
mist
mist.
on the water, the sunrise, or
So we could really connect it to the Lumiere, the feeling of the imagery of shimmering water bobbing
Or
and
like the light coming in the window sparkling in the morning, or whatever.
So it was really fun for us.
Well, it sounds like it came together, like the pieces kind of fell together very intuitively. Where does the Saint-Saëns piano trio fit into the mix?
Well, there's a lot of dances. I mean, of course, the color, and it's really a play of rhythm and colors. And there are a lot of the two movements that's like a dance-like. So it's like it kind of fits with the dance of the waves, like frolicking, the feeling. It could be rustic. Of course, it's more traditional. There's like a big fugue in the last movement, but
Gets really fast.
It gets fast too.
So, what's coming up next for the Neve Trio?
Oh,
Oh my
exciting.
gosh. Well, there's kind of a lot. We're really excited about the upcoming season. We're going to be making our official London debut at King's Place, which is very exciting. We just got back earlier this month. We got back from England to record our next album, which is actually going to come out at the same time when we're at King's Place, working on projects and touring and teaching here at BCU. And yeah, we're going to have another performance of our collaborative project with Pigeon Wing Dance and composer Bob Sirota of Rising, which is, I guess we're really in the oceanic theme these days, but it's about sort of rising sea levels and a beautiful piece we're so proud to be a part of that it sort of explores that in a very urgent but poetic way. And that'll be, I think it's April.
April.
We're going to have our work cut out for us keeping up with all of you. Thank you again, Anna and Ari, for your time. It was great meeting you, and let's stay in touch.
Yeah, thank you.